The Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. After he appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana and Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish that the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore and saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread, Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. And now Peter, beloved Peter, who has a reputation for sticking his foot in his mouth. Impulsive Peter, who when Jesus stooped down to wash the feet of the disciples, asked for a whole bath. And Peter, who in the garden reacted to defend Jesus with a sword by cutting off Malchus's ear. That Peter, who is now naked and has to clothe himself to jump in the water to swim to Jesus, that Peter, who even after the resurrection still does not quite grasp what Jesus is saying or doing, even when he's had breakfast, when Jesus asks him the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" If ever you think you have to be in perfect shape to be a servant of the Lord, or if you feel like you have pressure in your life to get the answers all right and figured out, or to be free from failure, then you're in really, really good company. Not only with Peter, but with Paul, who in the conversion story that Tammy just read for us literally was stopped in his tracks from breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, to be turned around by Jesus Christ himself and then sent to the whole known world with the good news eventually being the Paul that would write most of the New Testament. In the third year of seminary, you have to do an internship. It's a full year long. It's worth 27 credits toward the Master of Divinity. You can't graduate from seminary, nor can you become a pastor without successful completion of that internship year. My internship happened to take place in Greeley, Colorado, which is just about 20 minutes or so east of Loveland. It's on the Front Range. And I used to drive up to Rocky Mountain National Park to write my sermons. It was a really cool context, and I was glad to be there. My supervisor is a woman by the name of Pastor Sarah Menning, and Sarah is now one of the associates to the bishop in the Rocky Mountain Synod and is a dynamic individual whose gifts are really centered in faith formation. And she was an incredible teacher. And she was really, really, really hard on me. She challenged me to be better in every capacity. And I'm convinced that her being hard on me was one of the best things that could have ever happened for me, both personally and professionally. Although it felt absolutely horrible at the time. Early on in my internship, about 3 months in, things were not going well at all with me and Sarah, and I felt like I was failing. We started having conversation with the seminary about another placement for me, a placement in Northwest Wisconsin. I was failing, not so much at ministry, but I was failing at following Sarah's lead and her strategy for my growth in pastoral ministry. I wasn't functioning with integrity. I wasn't being brave in my preaching, and I was keeping poor boundaries with my time, so I was working too little or too much and never the right amount. And I felt like such a disappointment all the time, and that had stalled me out. At one critical point, Sarah actually met me for breakfast, and she confronted me with an ultimatum. She said, "Jen, make up your mind. If you're going to be a pastor, be a pastor. If you're in it, stay in it. And get through it and be brave and tell yourself there's no quitting. And you have to do better. And you have to try harder. And only look forward from here on out." It's probably one of the hardest conversations in my life. And I don't know if it was fear of her or fear of my potential or a really good therapist, but I ended up staying in Colorado to continue working and learning from Sarah. There was no going back. There was only going forward. If I was in it, I was in it. And if I was going to fail, at least I was going to fail having given it my full attention. Well, thanks be to God, here I am. So back to rash and brash Peter, who declares, "I am going fishing." On the surface level, it's no big deal. Who wouldn't want to go fishing at their spot on the lake? But for Peter, his declaration and then the disciples' affirmation, "We will go with you," is turning back. It's not going forward. It's returning to the nets that they were asked to drop when Jesus called them from beside the sea in the first chapter of John. It's going way back. In the face of potential failure, it's only natural to seek comfort in the old familiar patterns. For Peter, it was probably the smell of the sea, the way the wind feels after you've been out on the boat for a while. Maybe it was the comfort of knowing exactly what to do, how to let down the net, how to clean the fish. Maybe it was the reward of a full belly that comes from a night of work. But you see, for Peter, everything had changed when Jesus had collected him from beside the sea all those years ago. And then everything changed again when in a moment of fear and failure, he denies Christ 3 times. And nothing was the same after that. And nothing was the same after the cross. And nothing was the same since the empty tomb and Christ's appearance behind those locked doors. And because nothing was the same, he was clouded with some serious confusion and grief. And what do you do when everything is uncertain and nothing seems right? Well, sometimes you eat a whole bunch of cookies. And sometimes you make a quick stop on the way home. And sometimes you spend a little bit of time questioning what you were thinking or being really super hard on yourself. Sometimes you reach for the fishing net because you know the fishing net. So maybe that causes you to ignore your problems or abandon people or spend a little too much money. Whatever it is, you do it, even though you know you shouldn't, because ultimately what you're seeking is comfort. And seeking comfort, well, that's not a bad thing. If you're Peter, you go fishing. But like any comfort-seeking behavior, it only provides temporary release. And sometimes that comfort-seeking behavior can get out of hand and make things even worse. And that's exactly where the risen Christ meets Peter, right there in the midst of his comfort-seeking regression. Right there, Jesus shows up in that moment, and it's not a coincidence. Right in Peter's attempt to put everything out of mind and to just go back to the beginning like none of the Jesus stuff had happened when his life was so much better. Back to the beach, back to the sea, back to the boat. And it was right there Jesus met him. In the context of his own failure at early dawn, after a whole night of, you guessed it, more failure, because he didn't catch any fish. Nada. Nothing. Zero fish. Hungry belly and no better off. And that's exactly where the risen Christ comes. In the gospel before us today, Jesus meets Peter to treat his wounds that the failure had inflicted upon him. And in doing so, I think Jesus is showing us how we can care for our wounds that come from failure and our relapses and following him faithfully as well. Because first, before anything else, Jesus fills Peter's net. Not on his own power, because Peter had no success on his own. But with Christ's word, the net was full. And then Jesus feeds his body. When we aren't taking care of ourselves, it's really easy to let our failures overwhelm us. But perhaps the most beautiful words in the English language are, come and have breakfast. Smell the bacon. Smell the coffee. That charcoal fire was ready to go for the fish and the bread that Jesus had brought, and the fish that Peter was going to bring with them as well. And then finally, through a threefold series of questions, that Jesus redirects Peter to change his focus on love for Christ and love for others. Do you love me? Jesus asks him. Saying yes, Jesus redirects Peter's attention from his focus on his own self to something useful and purposeful and glorifying. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Jesus is redirecting Peter's obsession with his own self and helps him to find a new sense of purpose in serving others. And on this rock, Christ would build his church. Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus fills your net. It's easy to think that we have our own power, and so we seek short-term solutions for comfort and care. But from experience, I know that nothing else fills the void of failure like the promise of God's constant love. When we meet failure, we do have the ability for second chances, and we have the ability to change the outcome. But probably not on our own power alone. Call on God. Dwell in God's word, and most importantly, ask for help. Friends in Christ, take care of yourselves. It's not always easy to do, especially when you're tired, but it's so important. It's okay to take the time to nourish your body well with good food or with good sleep or some kind of self-care routine. And you're not too busy to do this. It's something that you can do. The risen Christ takes care of a hungry body before nurturing a hungry spirit, and it's almost impossible to take care of a heavy spirit without attending to the needs of the body. Gandhi once said that the gospel to a hungry person is bread. And finally, when your experience of failure attempts to rob you from all that self-worth, look for opportunities to feed God's sheep, to tend to the care and nurture of other people, which also can be really hard to do because sometimes you just want to turn inward. But it's a quick way to find new purpose and perspective for all that you face in life. Take an opportunity to volunteer or see what our community is doing to come to the help of others. Come and connect here in a new way through St. Andrew. There's always stuff going on, always ways to jump in and join in the work that we share. Plan to be generous with your time, with your talents, with your treasures, and watch how it has the capacity to release you from that net or from that self-burden. For like Peter, when we participate in the feeding and caring for others, we are loving Christ himself, who firsthand on the cross understood failure and abandonment and even the defeat of death, but who through God's mighty Easter victory did not stay dead in that tomb. And in the resurrection, who seeks to provide a fullness and a victory that is beyond our wildest imaginations. So in a little while, come and have breakfast. Come and eat and be full. And then go in peace to serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's stand and sing.